Our top story this hour, breaking news on KSL News Radio. Dave Colley joins us live in the KSL 24-Hour News Center. Dave?
Scott, you just heard Charles mention that police activity up in the avenues. What we know right now is that there is a shots fired situation. We've been listening to some very frantic scanner traffic back in the newsroom. We have a reporter headed up there right now to get the full details. A lot of what we've heard is not reportable at this time, but we do know that there is a heavy police presence in the area of 2nd Avenue and I Street. We're just hearing that they're setting up a media staging area, so we're hoping to learn more about what's been going on up there. But it's a good idea to clear the area, avoid that section of the avenues if you're in downtown Salt Lake City right now. Live, Dave Colley, KSL News Radio.
This is a very active scene right this moment. Officers are continuing to look at whatever evidence they can find. The shooting happened in a matter of minutes. Police say a guy was walking door-to-door asking if he could shovel for money. A homeowner says called police and said the man was acting suspiciously.
The officer responded. And right as he arrived, there was an altercation between the two. That was when the officer was attacked by the shovel. He returned fire.
Salt Lake Police Sergeant Robin Hayden says the officer had called in for help, but she couldn't say right now if that was before or after he was attacked.
Within the last hour, Salt Lake City Police have released the body camera video from a deadly officer-involved shooting that happened yesterday in the avenues.
An officer approached James Barker after receiving calls from people around 2nd Avenue and I Street, and here's what happened next.
Come on, sir. What are you doing in the area? There's no snow to be removed right now. I've had a couple people call about you saying we don't have any snow to be removed because there's no snow in the driveway, no snow on the edge. Wonder what you're doing in the area.
There is snow on the edge. Like over here, there's some snow like on the sidewalk edges and things like that. So.
What's your name?
No, I don't. I'm not giving you my name.
Why not?
Because I'm just doing my business.
You got a business license?
Sure I do.
What's it under?
I know. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just doing it.
Okay, well, I've had neighbors call saying they saw you looking in cars yesterday. They said you come up today, and they said they don't have snow removal. They don't need no snow removal. Knocking on houses.
This guy over here. I talked to him over here.
I don't know who it was called. It was anonymous. They gave your description, though.
I talked to him already. I talked to him. He has some snow over there, and I'm mainly looking for in the future when it snows again.
That's not what he said you told him.
Some people don't like to...
He said you told him you're out looking for snow removal, and he has no snow to be removed.
Well, there's a little bit on the side, so
it's warm, it's so. All that.
All right, well, I'll wait for it to snow again. And then I'll be back there.
So what's your name?
I'm not going to give you my name.
Why aren't you giving me your name? You know you're required by law to give me your name when I'm doing an investigation, or you can be arrested for failure to give your information.
No, I'm doing my business.
And you're suspicious in the neighbor. People are calling in on you. I just didn't stop you for no reason. Let me explain something to you.
No, I'm doing my business,
okay? Let me explain something. You need to
calm
down.
I'm trying to make a living!
Okay, you need to calm down and quit yelling at me right now.
Go back to your car!
No,
I'm doing my business!
Bravo 146, send me another unit. You need to calm down right now.
No, you need to calm down. I'm doing my business.
I'm trying to find out what you're doing.
Son, I'm stealing.
I didn't say you were stealing.
You can't get in my face.
You need to stop.
You can't get in my face, man.
Well, the video cuts out as Barker swings at the officer, sending him to the ground. Now, the camera was reportedly damaged. The officer, who ended up with broken bones, shot and killed Barker during the struggle that followed.
At the Utah Salute to Law and Order, a special tribute was made for fallen officers.
A year ago today, I was on a hot date with Corey, and everything was fine. And a year ago tomorrow, he was gone.
Nanette Ride, widow of Utah County Sheriff Sergeant Corey Ride, says her husband was brave, humble, and loved being an officer. Iron County Commissioner Dale Brinkerhoff says there have been a lot of anti-police rallies across the country, and this one was made to show many people support law enforcement.
Officers are sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
Tonight at 10, our colleagues at KSL 5 TV will broadcast a special in-depth look at police and the public. We'll also be sharing perspectives on Twitter using the hashtag PolicePublic.
KSL's top story this hour, Utah's fourth deadly officer-involved shooting in 6 weeks has shaken a Provo neighborhood.
But friends and family say they're not surprised it happened to one of their own. KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour begins our live team coverage use of force. Peter?
Tim, friends and family of a man shot and killed by Provo police say he had lived a troubled life. Lieutenant Brandon Post says officers were chasing Cody Evans when he came out of a house wearing a tactical vest.
Suspect ran toward his vehicle, ignoring the officer's commands, opened the door and pulled out the AR-15-style weapon, pointing it directly at officers, threatening them. Officers at that point engaged him, and the suspect passed away.
But police say the weapon was really an airsoft gun, but the orange tip signifying it to be a toy had been removed. This is, again, Utah's fourth fatal officer-involved shooting in 2015. We've had five incidents like this altogether. Live, Peter Seymour, KSL News Radio.
And more Utah cities are looking at the way they interact with police. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards continues our live team coverage. Use of force. Mary?
Grant, Lehigh City leaders are comparing police citizens review boards and citizens academies. The Daily Herald reports Lehigh's police chief says he prefers a citizens academy for the interaction with officers. The council also heard about internal and external reviews. The state independent agency that responds to citizen complaints about officers. They say the news of deadly use of force around the country makes this a hot topic for many Utah cities.
Breaking news on KSL News Radio. Dave Colley joins us live in the KSL 24-hour news center.
Scott, this is an update in the Darian Hunt shooting. You might remember he was the young man who was shot and killed by a pair of Saratoga Springs police officers last September. He was carrying a sword around some businesses there. They claim that he had run away and was shot out of concern for other people in the area. Well, an attorney representing Hunt's family has shared a letter that he received from the U.S. Department of Justice. It says that the Department of Justice, Justice's Civil Rights Division and the FBI are conducting a federal review into the circumstances of that shooting. It asks that they facilitate a meeting between the federal investigators and Hunt's family. Now, we've not independently verified this letter as of yet, but it does appear that the feds are looking into that case. Live, Dave Colley, KSL News Radio.
A Utah lawmaker has introduced legislation aimed at protecting privacy and setting minimum standards for police in their use of body cameras.
This bill attempts to create some uniformity in police body camera policies on issues like use, retention, and public access. Representative Dan McKay admits, though, he doesn't know what the end bill will look like.
We need to be discussing it. What that means and what that will mean in the final adoption of legislation, it's still yet to be determined.
There are a number of questions the legislation presents, including cost and logistical challenges for police departments. Salt Lake County Sheriff Jim Winder says he believes the debate will extend beyond this session.
President Obama calls for a change in the way the U.S. oversees its police departments.
Now with KSL's top national stories this hour, here's Mary Ellen Geist live at the KSL National News Desk.
A presidential task force says U.S. police departments need more civilian oversight, more diversity, more de-escalation training, and more body cameras. President Obama says he will be reviewing those recommendations of the task force within the next 90 days.
There are going to be some controversial recommendations in here. For example, the need for independent investigations and independent or special prosecutors.
Meanwhile, why was an unarmed homeless man on L.A. Skid Row shot five times and killed by police? LAPD Chief Charlie Beck says today the man grabbed for one of the officer's guns.
The slide is partially engaged and a round has been partially ejected and has fouled the firing chamber. This is indicative of a struggle over the weapon.
Meanwhile, in another officer-involved killing, Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson apologized today for how the city characterized the killing of sixth grader Tamir Rice. He was shot dead by police in November for carrying a toy gun. Jackson says he's sorry for, quote, our poor use or words or insensitivity. The mayor's statement comes days after a court filing says the death of the 12-year-old was the boy's fault. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Mary Ellen Geist. KSL News Radio.
KSL's top story this hour, breaking news. One man is in critical condition after police say a traffic stop turned into an officer-involved shooting.
State Street is closed between 9th and 13th South. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live on the scene with what we know so far. Mary?
Well, Amanda, it is lighter now, but the storm clouds are rolling in over this scene, and the investigations will still be going on for a while.
You know, there's three, four investigations that are parallel at the same time, so each entity will be doing their own investigation on it.
Sergeant Robin Hayden says police pulled over this truck for a traffic stop. Then a man got out with a gun and officers shot him. We understand at least two officers were involved. They were not hit as well. And two guns were found afterward. Live on the scene, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
With live team coverage, I'm Peter Seymour. Utah has now had six officer-involved shootings in 2015. And we're just starting March. Four shootings have been fatal. Two of them were ruled justified. This is Salt Lake City Police's second shooting this year. On January 8th, body camera video shows James Barker hitting an officer with a shovel before the officer killed Barker. Other officer-involved shootings occurred in Syracuse, which was also ruled justified, Draper, Provo, and Holiday. In that last one, police say the suspect grabbed the officer's gun and fired a shot, barely missing the officer. Live, Peter Seymour, KSL News Radio.
The Salt Lake Police Department recently invested in 295 body cameras, all from Taser International. A company Chief Burbank says he's spoken on behalf of at multiple conferences. But as concerns rise about this potential $1 million contract, Burbank claims his lectures aren't to build relationships, but to spread awareness.
I don't particularly care what the company is or who the vendor is that manufactures these, but I think it is the right thing for police officers, and this is the direction that we should be going in the future.
Burbank says he doesn't get any incentives from his appearances and is actually hoping it'll spur on other companies to start production and drive down prices.
The fastest traffic updates every 10 minutes on the 9s on Utah's Morning News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. An officer-involved shooting this week in Salt Lake City started as a traffic stop.
How does the officer know what should have started as a routine stop was going to turn into something else? We asked Utah Fraternal Order of Police spokesman Ian Adams.
Traffic stops are among the most dangerous things we do, just simply because they are so unexpected at times. What occurs is so unexpected. Officers do thousands and thousands of these in a career, and most officers can go their whole career without ever seeing one that will erupt in gunfire. But I mean, an officer at the end of the day is going to observe behavior and then react to it. So if your behavior is life-threatening, the officer is going to react in a manner that's going to preserve their life.
And we have breaking news on KSL. This word coming from the Justice Department saying there will be no charges now against Officer Darren Wilson in relation to the Ferguson, Missouri shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown. That, again, coming from the Justice Department. We'll have more on that as that story develops.
Although Salt Lake City is over 1,000 miles away from Ferguson, Missouri, there's a group of people here who feel a similar anger toward police for what they believe is excessive force.
I'd like for them to tell the family that they just shot and killed their kid.
That man wasn't trained. Are you kidding me?
One of them was Heidi Kyle-Baugh, the former girlfriend of James Barker.
Go back to your car.
No, I'm doing my business!
Who was shot in the avenues after swinging a shovel at an officer. She says people got an inaccurate picture of Barker from the body camera video that was released.
They watched the wrong video. They watched the video that was tailored by the police department.
She adds if police are trying to reach out to the loved ones of the people who have been shot and killed, they're doing a bad job.
No one has approached me on anything. The only support I've had is my friends and my personal family.
Others at the meeting made it clear they just don't trust police.
They want unconditional respect from the citizens. Respect has to be earned, and it's not being earned.
Others said they don't believe police officers have any accountability and don't face any real punishment after a shooting. But despite the fact that officers have far more training than citizens do, Salt Lake City Police Deputy Chief Jim Coleman says,
you can never get into the mode of, I know it all, nobody else has an opinion that's of value to me, because that's when you begin to fail.
At the end of the meeting, people who attended still felt frustrated, but grateful the department seems to be willing to hear them. Will these meetings be helpful?
We don't really know. We'll see.
And while these people say police need to be held accountable for what they do, citizens have a responsibility too.
We do a terrible job of knowing our rights. If we know our rights and are cooperative, we can have much better outcomes with the police.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
The third and final open city hall meeting will happen on the 18th, and it will focus on what your rights are when approached by the police.
A special hour of the Doug Wright Show, Utah Police Training, on KSL News Radio.
I mentioned just before the break, and we're very pleased to have the mayor of Salt Lake City here with us, Mayor Ralph Becker, also the chief of police, Chris Burbank. And Mayor, you alluded to this, that something has indeed changed. We discussed this a little bit during the break, and I want to make sure that some of this discussion certainly gets on the air. In your opinion, as the mayor of Utah's capital city, Utah's largest city, what has changed?
You know, I think we're in a society now where we're dealing with so many complex situations, and law enforcement gets pulled into a lot of things that today that they probably didn't before. And so our resources get stretched. But we also find, and Chief Burbank was talking about this when we were off the air, you know, that when something happens in a school, a police officer gets called. And we have police officers around our schools today. And there's also, I think, just been a shift in attitude. I think people are much more aware today than they were 10 or 15 years ago of their rights, and they get defensive. And with media reports about incidents, people are maybe even more nervous than they were when you and I were growing up, or when we get pulled over. And it creates a dynamic, I think, that in a way creates more tension.
Now with KSL's top national stories this hour, here's Mary Ellen Geist live at the KSL National News Desk.
This is what democracy looks like.
Tell them what.
And those protesters gathering right now, they are calling for an emergency meeting of the North Charleston City Council to investigate possible police misconduct after Officer Michael Slager shot Walter Scott dead during a routine traffic stop. The NAACP wants body cams for every cop in South Carolina. Now the group Black Lives Matter says a meeting must be called in the next 7 days and that city leaders have 24 hours to tell them when that meeting will occur. Meanwhile, the dash cam video from the incident had just been released. It shows the man fatally shot by that police officer getting out of his car, then running away during a traffic stop. Scott is seen getting out of the car and then he takes off running. The officer runs after him before he shoots him 8 times.
Stay with me, buddy. Stay with me.
You'll recall this video helped clear the Salt Lake City police officer who shot and killed Dylan Taylor in August. County DA Sim Gilla veiled it for everyone to see. But the Washington Post reports a dozen states want an exemption in the Freedom of Information Act. Officials say body cam video, costs too much money to blur images of victims, witnesses, and bystanders, and they have privacy concerns. News media outlets may detest this, and so could families of police shooting victims.
Breaking news on KSL News Radio. We have shots fired at 2 Oakland police officers. Neither of them were hit. 2 people are in custody. There is a search ongoing for a 3rd man. We'll continue to follow that story on KSL.
We're also learning that Hillary Clinton plans to call for body cameras mandatory on police officers, calling an end to an era of mass incarceration, as she calls it. So we'll continue to follow those stories and bring you the latest right here on KSL News Radio.
Politics on KSL News Radio. Utah lawmakers hosted a discussion about the use of force by police today, trying to find ways to avoid deadly confrontations. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has the latest live. Paul?
Scott, a big part of that discussion was on how to properly de-escalate a potentially dangerous situation, especially among people with mental disabilities. Committee members were asked to weigh in on which officers should get crisis intervention training first and whether or not there can be some way to better identify someone with a mental disability. That could include some sort of note on a driver's license. But that wasn't the only topic of discussion. The officials with the Salt Lake City Police Department say de-escalation can be a very tricky thing to do, especially when officers are outnumbered by a large group.
A life and death moment on the freeway as 2 state troopers pulled a man back from the edge of an overpass.
The whole thing was caught on tape, and now those 2 officers are talking about what happened. Agent Scott Nesbitt was first on scene, followed closely by Sergeant Jacob Cox.
Dispatch asked if I could divert. They said it looked like, from what they could see on camera, that he might be considering jumping onto the freeway.
So I pulled off to the side, and I could hear that Sergeant Cox was really close. So I waited for him because I didn't want to approach him by myself in case he got startled.
I blocked one of the travel lanes, walked up, just approached the guy and said, "Hey, buddy, can I help you? Do you need some help? Is there anything that I can do to help?" And his first response when he turned around and saw me was, "Don't touch me." And I was really, honestly, I was terrified that he was going to jump. And so I said a quick prayer, said, "Please, God, help me say what's right." And then I walked behind him. I said, "Don't worry, I'm not going to touch you."
Sergeant Cox motioned to me, and on the count of 3, we'd grab each side of him.
I said, 3, 2, 1, and then we just grabbed him, pulled him back off the ledge.
He resisted that pretty heavily, hooked his legs around the overpass, didn't want to be pulled to this side.
But we were able to pull him back onto the ground and get him safely.
We're told that the man who was planning to jump is now in the hospital and getting the help he needs. An important reminder that help is always a phone call away. And we've got suicide prevention resources on our website at KSL.com.
The mayor of New York promises that the death of a teen jailed at Rikers Island will not be in vain.
That's amid new calls for criminal justice reform nationwide. Our live team coverage, Law and Justice, begins with Simone Seichle, live at the KSL National News Desk.
Amanda Khalif Browder was accused of stealing a backpack when he was 16. He was never convicted of a crime, though. He was sent to Rikers to await trial, where his family says he endured abuse from other inmates and from guards. When he was finally released, he took his own life.
I deeply wish we hadn't lost him, but he did not die in vain.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says changes at Rikers will be related to Browder's death. Now, one lawmaker calls Utah's use of force law wishy-washy. Our live team coverage continues with KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour. Peter?
Simone, Saratoga Springs Senator Mark Madsen asks if police are peace officers or enforcers. The legislature is considering changes to use of force laws. Draper Police Chief Brian Roberts supports crisis intervention training,
but for officers with some experience first.
They've been to countless calls for service dealing with folks with mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and those sorts of things. When you insert the training at that point, it brings a whole new level of context and understanding.
Roberts and other police leaders told the legislative panel that less than 0.5% of calls require use of force, and fewer than that deadly force. Lawmakers still want to coin precisely what's considered reasonable fear for that use. Live, Peter Seymour, KSL News Radio.
A narrow vote will bring more police officers to the streets of Salt Lake City, even though the chief says more muscle isn't the answer. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards explains live. Mary?
Brian, the Salt Lake City Council voted 4-3 to open at least 18 full-time police positions. They say a federal grant could add even more. Residents had been asking for more of a police presence, like a bike patrol, especially on the east side where they felt crime was rising. And the City Council says 8 social workers will also be funded to help police interact with the homeless.
There is nowhere in this city that I don't walk on a regular basis, in uniform, out of uniform, and encounter people. There is nowhere I tell my teenage children, don't go there because it's too dangerous or scary. This is a good city to live in, and will continue to be a good city to live in, and one that I will call my home. Thank you very much.
Once again, that's a news conference with Salt Lake City Police Chief Chris Burbank, who resigned today, who was telling news reporters right here that he was given the option of either being terminated or resigning. He said he continued to follow exactly the procedures that were prescribed by his department. Mayor Ralph Becker saying he did not perform adequately, but the chief saying that he actually did what was ordered by his PR department, his personnel department, and the Salt Lake City Mayor's Department.
Mary Richards begins our live team coverage, Politics on KS on His Radio, live on the scene at Capitol Hill. Mary?
Amanda, there's a clamoring for body cameras, but the question is logistics. Senator Todd Weiler co-chairs the Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice Committee, which will be talking about body cameras today.
The police department in, you know, Wayne County, with 800 people in the county, isn't going to have the same policy as the Salt Lake, you know, or Unified.
Weiler says training varies. The body cameras are not perfect. There's no 360 view. The sound recording is different. And then what to do with the footage, especially if innocent bystanders are seen.
Utah legislators and law enforcement agencies agree police need to use body cameras. Today, a legislative committee is calling for one law to regulate when and where to use body cameras.
Ken Wallentine is vice president and senior legal advisor for Lexipol, an organization that sets policy for police and other agencies and advises them on using body camera.
There are right now, I think it's 98 or 99 bills pending in state legislatures across the nation dealing with body-worn cameras. So clearly legislators are very concerned about making sure that this technology is rolled out in an orderly and proper fashion.
Utah law enforcement agencies are concerned with a one-size-fits-all approach to using those body cameras. That's because administrators say police agencies have different needs and police situations vary. But they're also concerned with violating privacy.
I say to sheriffs and police chiefs across the country, move forward. Move into this technology and accept that it's a valuable tool. You know, the International Association of Chiefs of Police found that when there is video, the video vindicates the officers in complaints 93% of the time.
Salt Lake City's former police chief Chris Burbank tells KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour that local policing issues and policies will be vital to the 2016 presidential campaign.
Policing in America needs to undertake a reform. We need to change how we're doing business. The trust and confidence has eroded that the public has in the police. And so we need to evaluate and say, okay, how are we doing business? And most importantly, the question needs to be, what is our expectation from the public of the police? Right? What do we want our police officers to be involved in? And that's where politicians need to take some responsibility. They need to stand up and say, this is how we're going to police America. They are the individuals that represent the public when we determine laws, when we determine rules and regulations that exist and participate with the police. So that is something that I think, again, is going to be an important point, especially as you look and you evaluate, boy, we've had some problems and situations come up in this nation. We need to have more consistent
policy, practice, and procedure.
It's been a year since an unarmed black man was shot and killed by police in Ferguson, Missouri. There has been more unrest and plenty of protests since his death.
It's also meant big business for the makers of body cameras. Steve Tuttle with Taser says sales have skyrocketed for their cameras. Hundreds of police departments all over the country have been making big purchases.
We gained over 500 just this last quarter. So I would imagine we probably gained 1,000 departments more than likely in just the last year.
Tuttle says sales have been record-breaking.
There's no doubt since Ferguson, nor Charleston, Baltimore, any event right now is being really looked at more carefully.
An early morning gunfight involving police ends with the death of a Layton man. Investigators say they're trying to figure out why a man with a relatively minor criminal history would reportedly shoot at police. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has details.
The shots rang out after UHP Sergeant Paul Cotter approached 21-year-old Drew Morgan Moyer after Moyer drove into a restricted construction site near Hill Air Force Base. As Cotter went back to his car, investigators say Moyer opened fire. Cotter was hit twice but fired back while Moyer was trying to drive away. Roughly 300 yards away, Moyer was found with a gunshot wound to the head.
Now, Layton investigators are trying to confirm if Moyer shot himself or if he was hit by a bullet fired by Cotter.
His colleagues praise UHP Sergeant Paul Cotter as a squared-away trooper. Our team coverage continues now with KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour.
Right after surgery, Cotter told Sergeant Todd Royce,
"Pretty amazing, yes, is he can't wait till he fully recovers and gets the uniform back on and can come back out to work."
Royce says Cotter should fully recover, even from a bullet and bullet fragments that pierced his lower back and extremities. Royce says the new troopers Cotter leads through training couldn't have a better teacher.
He makes sure that they've got their uniform all taken care of, the classes that they need, that when they're out on the road and they're doing their field training, that it's done properly.
Lesson of the day, wear your bulletproof vest. That saved Cotter's life.
A downtown pub is apologizing for what they call a mistake by one of their employees interacting with an officer. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports.
KSL got word that an officer in uniform went to Poplar Street Pub for lunch and was asked to take his gun back to his car. He and the group left instead. Management at Poplar Street says they have great respect for those in law enforcement. They say they are using this as a training opportunity now and will be clarifying with staff that their general rule disallowing weapons does not extend to officers on duty. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
So do Utah businesses even have the legal authority to bar guns from their properties? KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson continues our live team coverage. Paul?
Well, Scott, that's the big question. If a business owner decides to make their establishment a gun-free zone, can they ask a police officer to leave the weapon outside? Well, attorneys say business owners are perfectly within their rights to do that, although most business owners wouldn't.
Most businesses appreciate having that sort of level of security sort of in their premises. And even if they're a gun-free area, an officer is usually welcome to come in and usually welcome to come in with their firearm.
Former prosecutor Greg Scorta says the only exception would be if a police officer is responding to an emergency call at that business. Then weapons would have to be allowed inside. Scorta says concealed carry weapons permit holders also have to respect the business owner's policy of not allowing guns in their store.
Breaking updates, weather, traffic, everything we do is news on Utah's Morning News.
Time for the KSL In-Depth. The man in charge of the Utah Highway Patrol says he and other departments in the state are on the losing end of the numbers game.
When he first started 20 years ago, UHP had a pool of 2,000 applicants competing for five jobs. Today, there are 23 openings and just 87 applicants. KSL News Radio's Andrew Adams takes a look at the increasingly thin blue line.
The colonel says his new batch of applicants won't come close to filling 23 vacancies.
We lost two last week.
And more troopers are leaving all the time.
10 in the last couple months.
Intense public scrutiny hangs over officers' every action now.
Interest in law enforcement has dramatically declined.
Low wages and more years to retirement are also pushing candidates away.
It's a continual challenge.
We didn't have a large pool of applicants.
In West Valley.
For an applicant, it's a buyer's market.
The department is getting aggressive with incentives. $1,000 to an officer for recommending a candidate who gets hired. $10,000 to new hires for a down payment if they move into the city.
And it's become very competitive.
In Provo.
Right now it's just a problem. It could be your severe problem in a few years.
And potentially
we're heading towards
a huge crisis in less than a decade.
And if we can't attract quality people, people that are service-minded individuals, we're opening the door for a lot of risk.
On Utah's Capitol Hill, UHP Brass swears in a new class of bright-eyed troopers.
It's a big deal, special in words that I can't even describe. I've waited a long time for it.
My family's young, and it's a great opportunity for us to get off to a new start, start a new chapter in our lives, and I couldn't be happier.
All police agencies hope for more like them.
Good job. Welcome.